Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your next order.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, the Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts. We're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word, and you can find me on the Locker Room app at Stace Gotts. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. We will be recapping the weekend in which the Yankees walked off twice, and that was after the Yankees were completely humiliated and embarrassed on Friday night. I'll recap all three games. And I'll have any news you need to know that breaks while I'm recording. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. By the way, everything seems to be okay with Apple Podcasts now. I think everyone's latest episode is up. So some of the episodes that weren't loading may never be loaded. According to the email I read this morning, something's going on with them. But you should be able to listen to this episode on Apple Podcasts. So just wanted to give you a heads up on that. So the Yankees won their series this weekend against the Nationals, and considering how awful Friday night's game was, it's a good thing that they pulled out those two wins on Saturday and Sunday, and especially on Saturday. We'll talk about that game in a bit. Let's talk about Friday first. Whew, that was just, oh my God. Friday night was a disaster. It was an absolute embarrassment of a disaster. My God. I had to turn it off at one point because I couldn't even take it. The thing that's bothering me about the Yankees right now, and again, it's still too soon. It's only May 10th. This is not the time to panic yet, but there seems to be a pattern. When the Yankees are good, they're one of the best teams in baseball. But when they're bad, they're one of the worst teams in baseball. There's no in-between for them. There's no mediocre for them. When they're playing a bad game, it's as if they're little leaguers who can't play the field. And it's just, how does this happen? I don't understand how Aaron Boone allows this to happen. How he's not yelling at them after a game like Friday. Maybe he did, and we don't know. But he should have, because Friday night had no business turning into an 11-4 game. So on Friday night, you know, Jameson Taillon didn't pitch too bad, although he did give up two home runs. But, I mean, what are you going to do? That happens. He pitched 6 1/3. He gave up 3 runs on 3 hits, 2 of them home runs. He walked 1, struck out 5. So those numbers are good. You know, his strikeout to walk ratio is okay. Could be better. But things fell apart when Jonathan Loaisiga came into the game. He could only get 1 out. He gave up 4 hits, 5 runs, 4 of them earned. He gave up a home run also, this time to Harrison. Bell hit a home run off Taillon. Gomes hit a home run off Taillon. And Juan Soto hit a home run off Luis Sessa. Because at that point, the wheels just came off for the Yankees in those last couple of innings. And Loaisiga and Sessa took it on the chin. They combined to give up 8 runs. So, yeah, it wasn't pretty. The Yankees pitching gave up 4 home runs on Friday night. And it was just, everything happened after the 7th inning. They gave up 6 runs in the 8th, 2 runs in the 9th. The game was tied 3-3 going into the top of the 8th, and then the wheels came off. The Yankees committed 3 errors. Judge, LeMahieu, and Gleyber Torres. Gleyber, okay, you know, his defense has been kind of rough this year, although he picked things up the last 2 weeks or so, and it just seemed, after the way the Yankees had been improving and playing so well, Friday night seemed like one of those 3 steps back games, and I was a little worried because it followed a loss against the Astros, and I thought to myself, oh boy, here we go. Let's hope they don't go on another losing run and close out this homestand on a low note. Thankfully, that didn't happen, although it easily could have happened on Saturday given how Max Scherzer was pitching. We'll get into that in the next segment. But Friday night could have been an even bigger disaster just because of the momentum it seemed to be creating. But thank goodness, again, they didn't lose on Saturday. I'll talk about that more in segment two. But more about this game. DJ LeMahieu hit two home runs. He really tried to keep the team in the game on Friday. And then again, the wheels turned off, or fell off. Turned off? It's Monday. Okay, my brain is not working. So Loaisiga got the loss. Brandon Finnegan, begin again. Yes, I had to do it. Got the win for the Nationals. And Patrick Corbin, who pitched for the Nationals, and who came into the game with a bloated 8.10 ERA, pitched six innings, gave up three runs on three hits, three home runs. LeMahieu with his two, one in the first inning, one in the sixth inning, and Gary Sanchez hit a home run in the second inning.
Gary!
He didn't walk anyone, and he struck out two. So, yes, the three home runs were bad, but they were all solo shots, so that wasn't bad for him because the Yankees couldn't do anything else against him. So his ERA is now lower to a 7.36. Then Brandon Finnegan came in, pitched an inning. Tanner Rainey came in. Will Harris came in, gave up a run to the Yankees. That's what made it 11-4. But yeah, it was just a bad game. In a moment, we will recap Saturday's game, which should have gone the Nationals' way, considering how Max Scherzer was pitching. But it actually ended up going the Yankees' way, thankfully. But first, let's talk about RockAuto.com, because if you have a car, you should go to RockAuto.com. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. If you need it, they have it, because they have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, then write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. I know I say it every time, but the Knicks are making the playoffs, and you can bet on them and how they're going to do or how you think they're going to do. I still can't believe they're even making the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That is 50-5-0. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Saturday's game was kind of iffy because of the weather and the delay, but it finally started. And I have to say, I'm impressed with Corey Kluber keeping up with Max Scherzer. You know, he gave up a run in the top of the third, but then Scherzer gave up kind of a meatball to Kyle Higashioka, who tied the score in the bottom of the third, which was kind of shocking, but it was really, that was the only mistake that Scherzer made all damn day. He's unbelievable. And, you know, if the Nationals aren't doing well by the trade deadline, can the Yankees make like a big splash and somehow get Max Scherzer? Because having him down the stretch run would be unbelievable. Scherzer pitched 7 1/3 innings. He gave up two hits, which means the Higashioka home run was one of those hits. He walked one, struck out 14. I mean, the Yankees just looked ridiculously overmatched against Max Scherzer, which is understandable because he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. Kluber, for his part, went 5 2/3, gave up 2 runs on 6 hits. He did not give up a home run, walked 3, struck out 6. So the game was tied 1-1 going into the 6th. Then Washington scored that 1 run. So it's 2-1 heading into the bottom of the 9th. The Yankees score in the bottom of the 9th. Gleyber Torres hits a single that scores DJ LeMahieu. And Aaron Judge got a single, which, you know, was good because he needed that badly. And I'm thinking to myself, oh no, they're going to go into extra innings. They're going to get screwed by the extra inning rule like they always do. And sure enough, Trey Turner hits a sac fly that scores Andrew Stevenson, who started the inning on second. But then the Yankees come back in the bottom of the 10th and score their runner from second. I know, I couldn't believe it either. Mike Ford singled home Clint Frazier. And then in the bottom of the 11th, Gleyber Torres, on a drawn-in 5-man infield, hits a soft ground ball to Tanner Rainey, the pitcher, who couldn't do anything with it. And DJ LeMahieu basically scored before Rainey could even really touch the ball. And the Yankees won 4-3. Gleyber Torres became the first person to, or first Yankee, to tie a game in the bottom of the 9th and then also win it in extra innings since Raul Ibanez did it in that amazing division series game in 2012, which seems hard to believe, but I'm pretty sure James Smythe is the one that posted that tidbit on Twitter. So it was very exciting that Gleyber Torres was getting in on the action, and it was exciting that Aaron Judge got in on the action in the 9th inning. Like I said, he singled. It was a bloop single. And you know when guys are going through a really rough patch, and sometimes a bloop single is the thing that kind of gets them going? That's what you hoped was going to happen for Judge. And then Aaron Boone sat him for most of Sunday. That was a whole other thing. Boone said that he was giving Judge a break, even though they have an off day today, because they're traveling down to Tampa. They're playing 13 games in a row, starting tomorrow. It's going to be a hell of a long stretch. Judge is still dealing with lower body issues, but it was just, that was just amusing to me when everything came out on Sunday. And of course, anytime Aaron Boone keeps Aaron Judge out of the lineup, everyone thinks the worst, but I just thought that was hilarious. So again, Saturday was a great win, considering how Max Scherzer pitched. The Nationals should have won that game, honestly. So that's a bummer for Scherzer, I guess, right? Because, you know, you strike out 14, you pitch 7 1/3, you only walk 1, your one mistake is a solo home run, and you still lose the game. It's almost like a Jacob deGrom game. After Saturday's game, you're thinking, okay, the Yankees can salvage this series and win on Sunday. That'll be nice. Because right now, you just want the Yankees to win series. You don't need them to sweep everything. It would be nice, obviously, because the Red Sox keep winning and that's annoying. But as long as they're keeping pace with other teams, things will come together for them. Speaking of that, Luke Voit will be back for the Tampa series, which I will preview on tomorrow's show. And Gio Urshela should be okay. Him and Rougui Odor were both working out at the stadium yesterday, taking ground balls, and Gio Urshela seemed okay. They're both dealing with knee issues, and Gio Urshela should be available for the Tampa series. The one thing that worries me a bit is Luke Voit is coming back from knee surgery. Gio Urshela is coming back from tweaking his knee. And I don't like that they're going to be back for a series where they're playing on turf. That scares me a little bit. Other than that, everything's peachy because the Yankees need Luke Voit back. He was tearing up AAA. Although, I wonder if he's going to be able to hit home runs when he makes it back up to the Yankees, because something's going on with the baseball, and I'll talk about that in segment 3. But first, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, has 9 delicious flavors, plus the occasional limited time flavor. Coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel. There's something for everyone. As you know, mint brownie is my favorite. And if you want to try all the flavors, you can get a mixed box, and you'll get 2 of each of the 9 flavors. Most flavors have 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. A couple of the other flavors have 18 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and 5 grams of net carbs. All 9 flavors are amazing, and they're healthy. And if you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your first order if you want to try that. Again, I love mint brownie. I know some people don't like chocolate and mint together, and I know that a lot of people like peanut butter and chocolate together, so you should try peanut butter brownie. Double chocolate's amazing, salted caramel's amazing. I love coconut almond, as I always say. It's like a Mounds and Almond Joy mixed together. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, use our promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. So before I recap Sunday's game, I need to discuss something that's happening today. I know not everyone is on Twitter, but an article came out on The Athletic by Lindsay Adler about how the balls have changed in baseball and how that's affecting teams all over the place. And it's affecting the Yankees. James Smyth of the Yes Network, he's the statistical guru, and you sometimes hear Michael Kay, David Cohn mention him on the air. According to James Smyth, the Yankees are hitting as a team, this is their batting line, okay? Brace yourself. 222, 320, 331. 222 is the batting average, 320 is the on-base percentage, which isn't bad, that's good. 381 is their slugging. You want your slugging to be in the 500s. 500 would be amazing, actually, but you don't want your slugging in the 300. That shows there's an issue. But they've actually been an above-average offense because their WRC plus as a team is 102. If you don't know what that is, WRC plus takes the statistic runs created and adjusts that number to account for external factors like ballpark or the era in which the team is playing. So a WRC plus of 100 is league average. So they're average. Well, they're average in a normal year, but because this year is kind of odd, they're actually above average. Does that make sense? 150 would be 50% above league average. So a player who plays in Coors Field will have a lower WRC plus than a player who does the same kind of numbers, but at a place like Oakland Coliseum, which is hitter friendly. So if that makes sense to you. So right now, the Yankees are league average in WRC+. The thing that worries me is that slugging percentage number. The on-base percentage number is good, and you've seen that lately. While the guys aren't hitting as much, you're seeing more of them take more walks, and that's always a good sign too. But it took until this weekend for Gleyber Torres to hit his first home run. That's a problem. And speaking of that, let's get into Sunday's recap, because I want to read more about this article and talk about it on tomorrow's show before I do the preview of the Rays series, because I want to get all the information correct. But I thought that batting line was interesting from James Smyth, because, that's again, it's the slugging percentage that worries me. The on-base percentage is great. And the average, you find batting averages are going down across the league. It's getting to the point where guys are either hitting home runs or striking out, and that's kind of annoying to watch as a baseball fan, and I'll go more into that on another show, but let's get into this recap. So, Sunday, another walk-off for the Yankees. And this time, they didn't have to go into extra innings, which was always good for my blood pressure. I don't know about you, but for the Yankees, Domingo Germán, you know, 6 1/3. He gave up 2 runs on 5 hits. He gave up a home run to Kyle Schwarber in the 7th inning. So the 2 runs were on that shot in the 7th inning. Schwarber hit the crap out of it. Although, I shouldn't say that. Yes, it landed in the second deck in right field, but it really only went 387 because that part of the stadium is so shallow. But it was one of those high arcing home runs, and Schwarber knew it right off the bat, pun intended, and did his little bat flip. Good for him. And they tied the game at 2 at that point, which was annoying. But other than that mistake to Schwarber, Domingo Germán pitched pretty well. 6 strikeouts to 1 walk. That's a good ratio. Michael King came in, pitched 1 1/3, gave up 2 hits, did not give up a run. Wandy Peralta came in, got the 1 out he needed to get on 1 pitch, which was amazing because I was a little worried there. And he got a pop-up. And I thought, wow, Aaron Boone actually knows what he's doing, doesn't he? Aroldis Chapman came in, gave up a hit, struck out a batter, did his job, got the win, because the Yankees came in the bottom of the ninth and did what they needed to do to prevent the game from going into extra innings. Now, Brad Hand came in to pitch for the Nationals, and he gave up a walk to Tyler Wade. I'm sorry, but four pitches, by the way. If you do that, you should lose the game. I'm sorry, but you're walking Tyler Wade on four pitches. Aaron Judge comes in as a pinch hitter to replace Brett Gardner, and they put up his numbers, and I joked on Twitter that he's not a pinch hitter yet because he has not gotten a hit in that situation. He ended up walking. So there's runners on first and second with no outs. DJ LeMahieu did everything in his power to ground into a double play, and then it didn't happen because I think it was Turner that slightly bobbled the ball. Just a slight bobble that prevented it from being a double play. So Tyler Wade makes it to third, Aaron Judge is out at second, LeMahieu makes it to first. Then Giancarlo Stanton hits a really hard single through the left side. DJ LeMahieu, nope. Tyler Wade scores, Yankees win 3-2, so Stanton's the hero of the game. He's cooled off a little bit since his hot streak, but he walked twice in yesterday's game before he hit that walk-off single, and my God, again, he really stings the ball when he hits it. It's just, I don't know why anyone would try and field anything that he hits, because it can't feel good, even wearing a glove. I just realized I totally glossed over Gleyber Torres' home run. Not even glossed over it, I just didn't even mention it. So Gleyber Torres hit his first home run of the year in the bottom of the sixth inning, off Joe Ross, who was starting. It was Ross's 92nd pitch. It was in the sixth inning. The Yankees were up 1-0 at that point. He made it 2-0. And for Torres, that is a big lift off his shoulders because, my goodness, May 10th, and he finally hit his first home run. He said after the game, it was for his mom for Mother's Day, but hopefully this will get him on a bit of a roll. So the Yankees salvaged the series after that embarrassing loss on Friday night with two walk-offs. So they finished their 9-game homestand 7-2, which, considering the Astros came into play, is amazing. Now they go on, let's see, it is not a 13-game road trip, but it is a long road trip. They're just playing 13 games in a row because they're playing the Rays for 3, the Orioles for 3, they're going to Texas for 4, and then they come back home for the White Sox for 3 games, and then they're finally off again on May 24th. So again, a 7-2 homestand is how you want to head into a long road trip like that, especially heading down to Tampa. So before I go, I was just checking to see if anything came across the wire, aka Twitter, and things seem to be pretty quiet. I do have a Yankees beat writer column in TweetDeck, so I can keep track of everything, and yeah, no, it's pretty quiet, other than Lindsay Adler's article, which again, I'm going to read it tonight and examine everything and give you all the information you need to know. I know not everyone is subscribed to The Athletic, so we're going to discuss this tomorrow, and I'll see if I can get someone on the show to talk to me about this, because it's an interesting thing with baseball, trying to do so many things to alter the game and nearly ruining it in the process. Isn't it funny how that works? Anyway, again, tomorrow's show will be mostly a preview of the Rays series, which is pretty big for the Yankees. You know, it's always big when they play in division, and especially down in Tampa, because they've had a rough time down there. So just brace yourselves for the next 3 days. So for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Monday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.